Amazon showed me Suncha Arendt's How to Take Smart Notes, one simple technique to boost writing, learning, and thinking for students, academics, and nonfiction book writers, about 20 times in sponsored posts before I finally broke down to see what it was all about. I decided to retrieve a sample chapter on my Kindle, and I couldn't put the book down, and I read it well into the night. My wife was even asking me what in the world I was reading, to which I sheepishly confessed it was a book on taking notes. Now, this book is not about Reformed theology, church history, or even philosophy, but I'm confident that many of you will be intrigued nonetheless. I loved this book so much that I ordered several copies to give as gifts to friends. But I should say that two of the first five paperbacks that I ordered were very poorly bound. These appear to be self-published through Amazon's CreateSpace, and the glue on the bindings did not hold well, and pages were falling out of the defective copies. And so I asked for replacement copies, and Amazon promptly sent them, even before receiving the bad copies in return. And the new copies were just fine. Now, whether or not they will hold up in the long run is an open question. So to appropriate the profundity of Samuel Roy Hager, only time will tell if they stand the test of time. Now, this book is not what you might expect. It's not a self-help book with tips for becoming a better student, for listening better and capturing your thoughts for better processing and recall later on. Now, I believe that following the model suggested in this book will most likely make you a better student and researcher. It will certainly help you to process your thoughts, but this book goes much deeper than a series of tips and tricks. It's a proposition for a more disciplined, yet much more liberating process of contemplation and writing. I need to warn you now that for some of you, what you're about to hear is going to send you down a deep, deep rabbit hole into the dark edges of the internet. And what you find may, in fact, affect many aspects of your life. So consider yourself warned. Now, at the heart of Arendt's How to Take Smart Notes is a somewhat idiosyncratic note-taking system developed by German sociologist Nicholas Luhmann. He used a system that is known as a Zettelkasten, or notes box. Now, if you're old enough to remember physical card catalogs in your library, Luhmann used two of these. And Arendt suggests dividing up your notes into three types. First, you just have ephemeral notes. These are things you write down on a scrap of paper as you're going about your day or even maybe as you're reading, whatever. These are just thoughts you may have just to trap them for a moment. But these are notes that eventually get processed and those notes get thrown out. You're not going to save them. You're not going to file them. Then you have your literature notes. And these are notes that you may write as you read a book. You keep these separate from the notes I'm going to mention, but nevertheless, they're not ephemeral. You're not going to throw them out. You may think of them as your marginalia, but you shouldn't be keeping those in your books. You want to have them in a system. And what I do typically now, after adopting most of this system, is I will open up a document and I will take my notes. As I'm reading a book, I will take a series of notes in line with that book. If I have a thought, I'll write it down. If I like a segment or section, or if I want to take an excerpt, I'll write that down, along with the bibliographic data and all that sort of thing. And those get filed in a collection of literature notes. But before you do that, you ought to process them. And this is where the real magic is. It's a third type of note, the Zettelkasten. You need to process your literature notes and to write them as permanent notes. Ideally, one note per idea. Now, Luhmann wrote on effectively index cards, but he would write on a piece of paper, one idea. And these aren't just someone else's ideas. They're not excerpts of other books, but they were his ideas processing what he was reading and incorporating his own thoughts. It's important to do that. But after you write those Zettelkasten and those permanent notes, processed thoughts, you file it away, but in a very specific way that's described within the book. You link the new note to other notes that are already within your existing network of Zettelkasten, your existing network of note ideas that are in turn linked with and filed among each other within the system. Now, in my way of thinking, in my conceptualization, Luhmann's method is a form of atomic writing. Usually when we think about writing a research paper or even something much larger like a dissertation, a thesis, or a book, you think about this huge, massive process and you have to start from scratch and then you start thinking about the big ideas and then fleshing them out, working from zero words all the way up to 50, maybe 100,000 words in an incremental fashion. Luhmann did not write this way. He just wrote his notes and he wrote on what he wanted to write on. He worked on what he wanted to work on each day. But every day, as he read, as he processed, as he wrote, he was building the network. He was building his Zettelkasten of his own ideas, of his own thoughts, of his own writing. Effectively, day by day, writing what I like to think of as atomic papers. His ideas in discrete units, but then linked with all the other ideas that he had previously wrote. Maybe he wrote some of those ideas that are linked to the new idea yesterday. Maybe he wrote them 5 years ago and completely forgot about them. But basically, you write atomically as discrete thoughts. You integrate them into your network of knowledge, and you move from there. There's great value in this. For one, you must force yourself to formulate your thoughts and to write them as if writing them for someone else. You need to be writing for your future self. Often when I'm reading and I'm taking notes, you know, I think I understand what I'm reading and I take notes and I think I have a good idea, but then maybe a few months later, maybe a year later, I go back to those notes and I don't understand what I wrote. Or more often, what seemed to be a brilliant idea at first, a year later, seems pretty mundane, maybe even stupid. Well, why is that? Partly because you haven't processed it all the way. By using this method, you need to work your thoughts out. By writing them down, you are forced into a certain cognitive process that in itself is a form of writing, or a form of thinking, I should say. This writing is a form of thinking. And this can be rather difficult, and you really will probably find quite a bit of personal inertia to doing this, because it's hard. It's much easier just to sit and read, underline a few things, star a few things, and then put the book away and think that you digested it. But when you are forced to write out your thoughts and to take literature notes and then process your literature notes as Zettelkasten, these permanent notes, then you actually think more. You digest, you learn more. And I firmly believe that writing is the thinking process. I don't think it's the only way to think, but I think if you are writing, I'm convinced that if you are writing, and writing specifically in this way, it is a form of thought itself. Not that writing is the product of thought, but writing is itself the thinking process. I think Luhmann thought the same thing. And by using this method, Nicholas Luhmann was able to write more than 70 books and 400 scholarly articles before he died at the age of 70. That is quite impressive. But perhaps even more impressive than his scholarly output is the nature of his scholarship. He was able to approach subjects in fresh ways, finding surprising connections among disparate disciplines. And this was due in part to the unexpected connections that arose from within his Zettelkasten. He didn't know these connections were there, but by writing atomically, by filing and networking his thoughts with the previous thoughts that were already networked, new ideas would arise. He could pull on a thread, pull out a note, and start following its linking thread all the way through his network, and then eventually create new articles, new chapters, new books from the thoughts that had been accruing within his Zettelkasten. Now, Luhmann wrote his notes on cards, and he filed them in a physical catalog. And there's much to be said about the benefits of handwriting and the tactile qualities of this form of note-taking. I, for one, am a huge advocate of writing with your hand, especially with a good pen on good paper. There's something not only enjoyable about it, But I believe that also activates something of our mind, an aspect of our mind that is not activated when we merely type or dictate. Yet there are also, of course, many limitations to taking notes by hand, particularly with linking and with searchability. And so for those who are interested in a digital approach to Zettelkasten, there is an entire ecosystem developing around what generally is called online personal knowledge management, or PKM. And people not only use the Zettelkasten method and its variants for academic research and writing, but also for all types of creative work, for personal journaling, and even for CRM, or customer or constituent relationship management. All in all, I encourage you to take a look at Sunka Aaron's book, if for no other reason, just to see if you're attracted to it. Just download the sample chapter on Kindle, and I think you'll get a good sense of what's in there. And for those of you who are enterprising and would like a more disciplined approach to reading and thinking, processing your thoughts, and for those of you who have found it rather difficult and frustrating to produce, at the amount and at the level, produce articles and books, to write at the level of production that you would like to, this might be a helpful solution. I know I can become discouraged when I feel like I haven't done anything or I haven't published anything. But in this method, you can look at your progress and your work at a more atomic level. And I can know that when I go home for the day, if I wrote 2 or 3 Zettelkasten, I know I did something, even though I don't have a completed paper to finish. I know that I wrote and contributed to my network, and that will pay dividends down the road, even if I don't see the final product today. Take a look. This book is tremendous. I know I'm a geek. I know that this isn't for everyone, but I know also that there'll be many of you listeners who will love this. Sunka Aarons, that's Aarens, How to Take Smart Notes, One Simple Technique to Boost Writing, Learning, and Thinking for Students, Academics, and Nonfiction Book Writers. You can find it on Amazon. And I'll include a list of links to some software solutions if you would like to do a digital form of Zettelkasten and explore with that. I personally have been getting deep into Obsidian. You can find them at obsidian.md. I've also used Zettler, Zettlr. But there's a whole cult. Really, they call themselves this, the Rome cult, at romeresearch.com, R-O-A-M, research.com. But then you can also find some more information, particularly in the Obsidian ecosystem, by two gentlemen named Nick Milo and Brian Jenks. Nick Milo has a system called Linking Your Thinking, and then Brian Jenks has a bunch of videos on personal knowledge management and Zettelkasten on YouTube. Links to those will be in the episode description. But again, Sunka Aarons, How to Take Smart Notes on Amazon. Click the link, learn more. Thanks so much for listening. Tolelege, take up and read.